Well, actually, it was like a dream come true for me. Here it is. You have this young kid, 19 years old, from the ghetto, from Harlem, New York, and I get a chance to make a record. But the record is a smash hit. And here I am traveling all around the world, just meeting new people. First time leaving America, going to places like Europe. I mean, Spain and England and France and Germany. It was just an amazing year for me. I mean, not only was that the first commercial hit, but it was the first certified gold rap song. So I have the first plaque. Hip-hop's first certified gold rap song.
Yeah, and I remember back in those days, everyone was like, oh, it's just a fad. That thing, the breaks, that thing, that rap, that's just a fad. Did people tell you that to your face?
Oh, yeah. It's not going to last. It's just a fad. You know, it'll be around for 10, 20 years. But now we're going strong. 34 years of hip-hop.
Right on. Now, Russell Simmons, he was, back when he was very young, he was your manager, right?
Yes. Russell Simmons and I were college buddies. I met him in college, and I actually introduced him to hip-hop and told him, you know, all about the Bronx, because he was from Hollis, Queens.
Right.
And, you know, we used to sit and talk and debate about the different DJs that were around during that time, and you know, I finally convinced them to come into hip-hop and come check it out, and we actually left school at the same time. We took a leave of absence at CCNY, so City College of New York. We're still alumni, and we need to go back and get our degrees.
Now, I heard you at that station, you were also the program director, is that right?
At WCCR, College Radio, City College Radio. Now they call it WHCR. It's still going strong over there.
Now, in the early years of hip-hop, you produced, or you started producing afterwards? Because I know you worked with the Fat Boys back in the early 80s, right?
Right.
So when
right.
did you start producing? Did you produce your own music? You didn't produce it, right?
No, my first five albums were produced by two wonderful guys, J.B. Moore and Robert Ford. And I later went on to produce myself and other artists in the mid-80s. I started working with the Fat Boys in 1984.
Oh, and what was that like?
Oh, it was incredible. Those were really, really cool kids. I mean, from Brooklyn, just working with the, you know, Buff, rest in peace. You know, he died about 8 years ago, or about 10 years ago. And, you know, they were really good kids, man. I remember this one time they told me, you know, hey, Kurt, man, if we ever make it, you know, all we want is a car. And I was like, wow, those guys got cars, houses. They were very successful.
Now, speaking of money, you know how it is. Life is a little cruel, especially the music business. People sometimes have this sort of impression that, well, once you've had a hit record, you're rich for life. But that's not the case, is it?
Yeah. That is truly, truly not the case.
There's no health insurance policy with the music business, is there?
Exactly. I mean, we do have our union. You know, there's the American Federation for Television and Radio Artists. There's also the local union, 402, here in New York. And there's the SAG for actors and actresses. But
do you make a living out of touring now? Because I know you were just out in the Bay Area not too long ago, and I've heard of you doing shows around.
Well, you know, I think of it like this. I think God is good for me to be available to work still after all of these years is a phenomenon, man. You know, those hits that you're playing right now, the breaks and Christmas rap and, you know, If I Rule the World, basketball, but 20, 25 years ago.
We played Tough as well.
And I still work, man. I still get my shows, 2 or 3, 4 shows a month. And it supports me and it supports my family. So I say it's just a phenomenon that I can still be around. And
right.
I thank God for the opportunity.
Now, when you listen back, it's interesting. I'm here at, there's another DJ here, Noah, who does a show here on Monday nights. And he's a hip-hop DJ, too. And, you know, we play a lot of hip-hop from different years here on WFMU. And when you go back now, it's like when you're now in this year, 2006, you look back, you sure notice the different styles. Like, your style back in the day was totally different, like the way rap has evolved. What do you think of, like, the different sort of evolving of rap styles over the years?
Oh, I think it's amazing, you know, the fact that we keep changing, and there's an evolution. You know, when we started rapping back in the 80s, 1979, it was a basic style. It's very simple, and we did it by design so that, you know, we could get out there and be understood. See, as a rapper, an MC is very important for our words to be understood by the public. So we had a code of ethics that we used to have this rhyme. We used to say, I got style and I got class and I don't talk my stuff too fast. So, you know, we could base it. But now it's evolved, and this is why I support hip-hop of today, because the styles have really changed and evolved. And there was an evolution, you know, the raps are faster, they're wittier, they're more complicated. You know, and it's a challenge for an old schooler to even keep up, you know.
So yeah. Well, it's hard.
I'm feeling it, and I support the hip-hop of today.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up at all. Do you have any favorite artists or favorite era in hip-hop that you like to listen to? Like, if you're just alone, you'll listen to what music?
I like my old school, man. Old school funk from the 70s.
Yeah.
That's what I listen to.
You can't go wrong with it, really, can you? Most of that's so good.
That's right. A lot of James Brown, Jimmy Castor, you know, Parliament Funkadelic. I even vibe on the Motown sound. So that's where my head is at. I'm strictly an old schooler, for sure.
One thing I mean, rap now, hip-hop today, it's so diverse that you really can't say it's one thing or another. There's popular hip-hop, which is one way, but there's so many different types. There's everything. There's still political, but there isn't as much political music that's popular in hip-hop. Most of the popular hip-hop is sort of not really, doesn't go much into politics. And when you go back and listen to your music, I mean, it's pretty political, isn't it?
Yes, well, you know.
I mean,
yeah,
the breaks.
The
breaks
back then. I think I was the first cat to put the raps into different categories. See, when I went to college, I was a speech broadcasting major. So, and taking all of these speech courses, I sort of like, I learned that your raps are like speeches. Of course, you have your intro, your body, and your conclusion in a rap. But then when you talk about the content, you know, you have political raps, of course. You have gossip raps. You have party time raps. You have demonstrative raps. So a demonstrative speech is one, a speech that talks about different subjects like basketball or Christmas, you know. That's a demonstrative. Now, here's one category, an extemporaneous speech is one that is not prepared. It's off the cuff, off the top of the head. Just like what you would call a freestyle rap.
Right.
So, you know, we have the flavors, we have the style. And I'm feeling it. So if all of you people out there who don't like gangster rap or the thug rap stuff that you hear normally on the radio, you know, you can do your research. Do your research and go out and find the different kinds of styles and the different albums that are out there. You know.
Okay.
Lauryn Hill, where are you?
She's coming. Noah here with me has a question for you, Curtis Blow.
Hey, Curtis, how are you?
Good.
Listen, I want if you can share a quick story. Not a lot of people know this, but can you tell the story of the son of Curtis?
Ah, the sons of Curtis. Did you say the sons, like, as a plural?
The son. Like, he was named the son of Curtis Blow.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, there are a few sons. But let me give you the one I think that you're talking about. Well, I told you guys the story that Russell Simmons and I, we went to college together.
Right.
So I told Russell one day we need to open up a club around his neighborhood out in Hollis, Queens. And we would call it the Harlem and Queens Connection. So in traveling out to Queens every weekend at this club we had called Night Fever Disco in 1978, I met Russell's younger brother, whose name was Joey. Now, Joey became my protege. I took him under my wing, taught him how to rap, taught him how to DJ. And I was 17, 18, and Joey was 13. So, I don't know if you ever seen a little kid rap, but they usually do very, very well with the crowd. The audience, they kind of like that. So he became very popular. He got popular. So we named him the son of Curtis Blow because during that time, most of the DJs, you know, when they had a protege, they would call him their son. The son of Hollywood was DJ Smalls. The son of Bambada was Africa Islam, you know. So Curtis Blow had the son of Curtis Blow, and we called him DJ Run. And Run was a really good DJ. So when I got a record deal in 1979, put out my first record, he was my DJ. We were traveling all around, you know, doing shows. But when I put out the breaks and it became like that big hit smash, number one record, I got a big major tour in 1980 with the Commodores. So open up for the Commodores, doing 80 shows around the country.
Wow.
Hip-hop's first tour. So then what happened was, Joey broke his arm. Yeah, he couldn't go out on tour. He wanted to go bad. I mean, his dad said, no, you got to stay in school anyway. He's like, no, please let me go. They look at you, you can't even DJ. You broke your arm. He said, watch me, I can do it with one arm. Boom, 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 boom. So he stayed home, and then he formed his own group while I went out on tour. The group now is called Run DMC.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Did you give him the name Run?
No. He thought up that name himself.
Okay. Now, you also worked with Larry Smith at the early days. Is that correct?
That's true. Larry Smith was the bass player on Christmas Rap and The Breaks. Larry Smith was my band leader when I started my own band called the Orange Crush Band. And then Larry went on to produce many, many hits in hip-hop, producing songs for Run DMC, most of their hits, and also producing for Houdini, making most of their songs as well, too.
I think he's
Larry
become...
Larry has a lot of hits under his belt.
It seems like he's also become almost a forgotten producer, though, in today's time. You know?
Yeah, sort of, but... Now, someone just asked me the other day, some new producer asked me for his number.
I would love to see him working again. He's an incredible musician.
Yeah, sure is.
So, Curtis Blow, thank you so much for sharing your time with us. I don't know if people know, but you're doing a show, and it's the Nice Price. It's for free, thanks to the City of New York, next Wednesday up in Harlem.
Right.
In where's it going to be at? It's at... which park is it in?
Oh, it's at the Jackie Robinson.
Right, which is, I think, what, 143rd and Madison?
145th and Bradhurst.
And Bradhurst, okay. Real close to the subway station up there. And it starts at 7 sharp.
Yeah. And no, it ends at 7. Starts at 3. It's from 3 to 7.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yep.
And what day again is that? Wednesday?
This Wednesday, August 23rd.
All right.